We present Kenneth Williams, Clement Freud, Peter Jones, and Liz Fraser in just a minute. And as the minute waltz fades away, here to tell you about it is our chairman, Nicholas Parsons.
Thank you. Thank you very much. Hello and welcome once again to Just a Minute. And as you've just heard, we welcome back Liz Fraser to play the game with our three regular competitors, Peter Jones, Clement Boyd and Kenneth Williams. And they're going to try and speak, if they can, for just a minute without hesitation, repetition or deviation on the subject I give them until they're challenged. And we'll begin the show this week with Kenneth Williams, and the subject is staying power. Kenneth, 60 seconds, starting now.
This is to do with stamina, and it's two words used instead of one, which always shows a poverty as far as the vocabulary is concerned. Staying power could also be applicable to batteries. I find when I buy these torches that I get them out of the drawer only a few days later, and there's no light at all. I am not illuminated. And my automatic polisher for the shoes seldom works. The other kind is stamina in the theatre.
Clement Freud is challenged.
Repetition of stamina.
Clement, you have a correct challenge, so you get a point for that. You take over the subject of staying power. There are 19 seconds left, starting now.
Staying power is one's ability to remain in authority for longer than people actually want you to be there. At the Hexham and District Chip Butty Eating Contest, the winner, whose name was Heckmondwijk, or possibly...
The whistle, as always, tells us that the 60 seconds is up, and whoever speaks at that moment gains the extra point. Clement Freud was doing it, and he's the only one to score in that round. And Clement, it's your turn to begin, and it is beef. Would you talk about that for just a minute, if you can, starting now?
In my sporting autobiography, which, of course, was called Beef, Booze and Birds, which related my arrival at Home Park to play for Plymouth Argyle, dressed in green and white, I raced around the pitch. I was centre-half at the time, but had no sense of balance or direction. It cost 17 shillings and sixpence, a sum which has now been translated in the region of 80-something new P. I'm really not very good at the new denomination.
Peter Jones has challenged.
Nor would I have any desire to be so.
He did indeed. 25 seconds, Peter, for you on a correct challenge. The subject beef, starting now.
Well, it's the name people give to the flesh of the cow or ox. And I suppose if it were just...
Liz Fraser.
Actually, they don't call cow beef. They do call it cow meat. I buy it for my dog and...
Well, you might call it cow meat, but it is still called beef. So he wasn't deviating from the subject on the card. So he has another point and 17 seconds, starting now.
And there are a number of varieties of things that you can do with it, like stewing, frying, braising, roasting, making into rissoles, and actually grilling as well, which is one of the most pleasant ways of preparing this for the table. It's full of protein. It's very...
Well, Peter, having got the subject of beef, put plenty of beef behind his dissertation. And, Peter, your turn to begin. The subject, a ton. Would you talk about that for just a minute, starting now?
Well, that's 2,240 pounds. Or if you're thinking in terms of the continental ton, then it would be 2,000 kilograms.
Liz Fraser challenged.
Repetition of 2,000.
Yes.
Yes.
And you have 49 seconds on ton, starting now.
In Cockney slang, a ton also means 100 pounds. I don't know if this has been altered in the view of inflation, but with one ton in your hand, you could go along to the races and enjoy yourself and gamble. If I had a ton of coal, I wouldn't these days be permitted to use it, because living in a smokeless fuel area, it is very difficult to burn this commodity. Therefore...
Peter Jones has challenged.
Well, other uses for coal apart from burning it. I mean, you can shape it, make it into paperweights. You can do all kinds of uses for a ton of coal.
Of course.
I disagree with his challenge, and you have 17 seconds on a ton starting now.
Smokeless zone areas.
Clement Freud.
She said smokeless and area before.
Yes, she did. And you have 15 seconds on a ton, Clement, starting now.
Actually, when a Cockney says a ton, he means 100 miles an hour and not what the lovely Liz Fraser suggested. And driving down the motorway, for instance, doing a ton, is an opening...
Well, at the end of that round, Clement Freud got an extra point speaking when the whistle went. He is one ahead of Peter Jones, who's one ahead of Liz Fraser. And, Liz, it's your turn to begin. The subject is the things in my deep freezer. Would you tell us something about them in just a minute, starting now?
Ideally, I should have in my deep freezer peas, carrots, broccoli, spinach, all kinds of vegetables... strawberries, raspberries, ice cream, vanilla-flavoured, chocolate, ripple, dog's meat I have. Also, there is liver, pork, chops.
Kenneth Williams has challenged.
I think hesitation, it all seemed to come to a halt, didn't it?
Well,
yes, it did.
Her deep freezer was full up. And you, Kenneth, you have a correct challenge. You have the subject of things in my deep freezer, 35 seconds, starting now.
Things in my deep freezer are non-existent because I don't have one. But if I did, it would be full of goodies. And toffee apples would be most important of all. You see, to actually lick that delicate flavour from off the fruit. Oh, I can't think of anything better to get me going than a bit of toffee on the fruit. Oh, I love a...
Clement Freud has challenged you.
Kenneth had too many fruits.
Yes.
And it was a load of toffee.
Or
as
one
well.
Fruit too many.
Yeah. And, Clement, you have a correct challenge, and 12 seconds are now left for things in my deep freezer, starting now.
The things in my deep freezer are cockroaches, mostly, which come creeping, crawling out.
Peter Jones has challenged.
I don't think he should be allowed to advertise his hotel on the radio.
The audience applause tells me that we must give Peter Jones a bonus point for a very good challenge, but as Clement wasn't actually deviating from the subject, you can keep going for another 5 seconds if you can, starting now.
But in the hotel that I have...
So, Clement's increased his lead at the end of the round.
Something worse, I suppose he was going to say.
Kenneth Williams, your turn to begin. The subject rules. Can you talk about them for just a minute, starting now?
Well, every procedure has got rules attached to it, and games are no exception. The present one is governed...
Liz Fraser challenged.
Hesitation.
No, I don't think so. He was going slowly, but not enough to hesitate yet. So, Kenneth, you have 47 seconds on rules starting now.
There are canonical rules and there are grammatical rules, and I think we all know the one we're defining, a zeugma or a syllogism or...
Clement Freud has challenged.
Deviation.
Why?
I don't know.
But he was using it as a figure of speech, and so he wasn't strictly deviating from the subject, so he has another point, and there are 38 seconds on rules starting now.
Well, for Clement's benefit, the definition would be he took his oath and his seat. That is a zeugma, dear. I thought I'd enlighten you, you see.
And Clement's voice has challenged you.
Hesitation.
Yes, having... Silly so-and-so, having enlightened him.
I love him, I tell you.
You rested on your laurels and the wonderful reaction that you got when you enlightened him. Clement has a correct challenge, 29 seconds On rules, Clement, starting now.
In a Graham Greene novel, I seem to remember, the author spent a great deal of time in a restaurant in Maiden Lane called Rules, in which on a Thursday they served a steak, kidney, mushroom and oyster pudding, a dish I've always preferred to the same sort of pie.
Kenneth Williams, a chap.
Deviation, he said he seemed to remember. Well, he's obviously remembering the whole thing.
I seem to remember it was that novel, but it might have been another novel.
Do you mean you seem to remember? It's not the same as remembering. You can
no,
either remember
no,
or
I,
you
I
seem.
Think, I think he
you
was
seem.
Right. No, you can seem to remember, because yes. He's not sure which novel it was. I think he made his point quite clear. So there are 12 seconds on rules starting now.
The one that we have for this game says, do not hesitate. One should, under no circumstances, deviate. And also, points can be lost or buzzers pressed should you repeat a word which you have previously...
Well, that was difficult to work out, but Clement kept going and spoke again when the whistle went, gained another point and increased his lead considerably over the other three, who are almost equal now, together in second place. Clement, your turn to begin. The subject after that is justice. So would you talk on that for just a minute, starting now?
At school, learning algebra, geometry, and straight arithmetic, I recall my mathematics instructor saying pi equals 22 over 7, or 3.142. And I said, why? And he said, just is. And I've always remembered that this is an incredibly useful formula whereby you can ascertain the circumference of a circle knowing only the radius or diameter thereof. The magic.
Liz Fraser.
Deviation.
Why?
Well, I don't think he's got back to the subject of justice.
No, I don't quite see what justice has got to do with the geometrical formula
they're
talking
about.
And you have 27 seconds on justice starting now.
For me, justice is courts where gentlemen wear gowns and wigs and often carry a pair of briefs.
Peter Jones.
That's not a court at all. It's a very sort of low-class variety theatre. People wear gowns and wigs and everything. It's, you know...
Well, it might be to Liz Fraser. It may not be to you. And that's her idea of justice. So we've got to give her ideas of justice. She wasn't deviating from the subject, and she has 17 seconds on it starting now.
There is, in fact, talking about variety, a court called...
Peter Jones's challenge.
She shouldn't be talking about variety. talking about justice,
Peter.
That's what...
So, Peter, you have 13 seconds now to take up the subject of justice, starting now.
Nothing is more impressive than to make a visit to the Old Bailey under the great dome with the gold figure...
Liz Fraser, challenge.
Hesitation.
Yes, 5 seconds, Liz, on justice, starting now.
Talking about that court which you've just mentioned...
Kenneth Williams, a child.
He's already said talking about...
Kenneth, you have 2 seconds on justice, starting now.
She is blindfold and holding the scales in her hand to preside.
I think that blindfold is...
Well, Kenneth Williams, speaking when the whistle went, has moved forward. He's now equal in third place with Peter Jones. They're behind Liz Fraser, and they're all behind our leader, who's way out in front, Clement Freud. Liz Fraser, your turn to begin the subject. What gives me most pleasure? Would you tell us a few of your secrets in just a minute, starting now?
What gives me the most pleasure is difficult to say, but I think perhaps listening to Kenneth Williams talking about his Christmas cruise, or watching Clement Freud and his twin, or really enjoying Peter Jones, or switching off Nicholas Parsons. There are other things which give me great pleasure, like sitting in a restaurant opposite a very tall, dark and handsome man, holding his hand and sharing his muscles. I am very fond of food, and this is one of my greatest pleasures. I will start with lobster, perhaps. Perhaps carry on with a nice...
Clement Freud's challenge.
Deviation.
Why?
Starting with lobster, holding the hand of a man opposite you has got to be impossible.
Yes. She didn't say. She didn't muscles. Say she was actually doing it. She was... That was she's got so many pleasures in her life.
She was feeling his muscles. Now she's got past that.
Muscles and thought she'd better have a bit of lobster to build herself up.
I thought she said she was sharing his muscles.
Yes, she did.
Which I assumed was a first course. I thought it was odd to follow it with crab.
No, he had muscles and I was having the lobster, but I was sharing his muscles.
Oh, yes.
Well, in spite of the fact that you like to switch me off, Liz, I'm going to be very generous and say it was an incorrect challenge, and you have a point for that, because I always try and be fair. And there are 16 seconds, and what gives me most pleasure starting now?
Accompanied by broccoli, courgettes. I've never tasted any food that Clement has actually prepared and made, and I must say that I think this...
Clement Freud has challenged.
Deviation.
Why?
Not even I can make food.
Oh, surely you can.
It's a tough challenge, making food. It's a colloquial phrase, isn't it? You don't obviously make food, you make dishes.
You prepare food, you great fool. You prepare dishes, you don't make dishes unless you're a potter.
When you're speaking colloquially, you use these phrases, and it's very difficult to keep going and not be...
Of course they do. It's
not
quite acceptable. On a packet of biscuits, it says, any complaint, return to the maker. It doesn't mean God Almighty.
So, Peter has supported me. I'm going to put the final judgment on this to the audience. If you agree with Clement's challenge, then you can boo for Clement. But if you disagree with his challenge, then you can cheer for Liz Fraser, and you all do it together now. You're booing for Clement Freud. You agree with his challenge, so he gets the subject. And he has 6 seconds on what gives me most pleasure starting now.
What gives me most pleasure, actually, is when they boo for Nicholas Parsons. I feel warm.
Kenneth, it's your turn to begin. The subject is the lion and the unicorn. Will you tell us something about them in just a minute, starting now?
These are the animals represented on the arms of England. The lion is real, the unicorn is a fabled creature, and has an interesting history and a story which is told by the Master Garter of Arms in the book about this subject,
Liz Fraser,
which is in the library of the British...
of arms.
It's hyphenated, Master of Arms, darling. It's hyphenated.
I've been told by EMS who thought up the rules that if it's hyphenated, then it's incorrect.
You mean he's thought up another rule?
So, Kenneth, you have a point, and you keep the subject, the lion and the unicorn. There are 43 seconds left, starting now.
And this is Asia Quadrant, and you have that very quickly, the ancient Grecian sparkers with the weeks, or Ulysses stuffing in the eardrome in order to pass the siren safely.
Clement Freud, Reputation challenge.
Reputation of Asian.
Yes.
I didn't. I said Asia, you great nit. It was heraldry.
Then you want to have a...
referred to, isn't it? Then Asia.
You want to have a little,
I want to have a little, yes. I do. And I'll have a little with you afterwards.
I could hardly understand a word he said that time.
No.
I could only knew he was repeating himself because he pulled the same face.
And I must say, Clement was very clever, because whatever word you said, he made it sound exactly the same, and I said yes, because it is. But none of we don't even now know you were talking about Asia. There are 36 seconds, Clement, on the lion and the unicorn starting now.
Outside the theatre today, somebody came up to me and said, is it true that Kenneth Williams is a mythical beast? And I said, no.
Kenneth Williams, a child.
I mean, this is deviation.
You don't believe it.
Well, of course.
Nor do
I don't.
All right, Kenneth, you have the subject, and you have 22 seconds on the lion and the unicorn starting now.
This is the title of a very beautiful story which was written by Mr. Thurber, and it is a magical...
Clement Freud.
Mr. Thurber wrote a story called The Unicorn in the Garden, nothing about a lion.
I believe you're right. There are 14 seconds, Clement, with you starting now.
Once upon a time, there was a woman lying in bed...
Kenneth Williams...
This is supposed to be a family show. I mean, keeps on dragging all this to
About women lying in bed.
And I don't think they had anything to do with the lying. They fought for the Watsit and chased them out of town, didn't they? All that currant cake and all that stuff. 10 seconds on the Land of the Unicorn with you, Kenneth, starting now.
And was the subject of a remarkable children's nursery rhyme about going up the hill to get a pail of water. And it said the unicorn fell down and broke his crown, and the drill came tumbling off.
That was Jack and Jill.
No, 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 that's how the crown got its arms, you see.
When they... Well, they broke them when they fell down.
Precisely.
Oh, my goodness. Well, we'll carry on with the programme. And Clement Fright, it's your turn to begin. And after that, we've got the subject of ogres. Can you tell us something about them in 60 seconds, starting now?
An ogre would be a unicorn painted in order to frighten women and children. And I dare say Kenneth Williams as well.
Liz Fraser has challenged.
Would it be in yellow ochre?
Yellow ochre you're talking about. Ochre, the colour is different to an ogre.
It was a joke.
And the audience appreciated with a spontaneous round of applause. And, Clement, you have 50 seconds to continue on ogres starting now.
Perhaps the most endearing thing about ogres is that you can make some smashing jokes, like yellow ochre or ochre.
Peter Jones is challenged.
Was he hesitating or was he waiting for the audience to calm down after that joke?
He was doing both. But you have a correct challenge, and you have 40 seconds to continue, not to continue, to take over the subject of ogres starting now.
Well, they are ghastly things with...
Kenneth Williams has challenged.
Yes, well, he fell about laughing.
I know he did. He didn't tell you a very funny story, but it creased him. Kenneth, you have the subject now. There are 37 seconds for ogres starting now.
This can be used to cover a multitude in terms of the definitions. And, of course, monsters like Medusa with that air full of snakes and stuff could equally be called ogresome. I, on the other hand, find...
Peter Jones has challenged.
Has that got a hyphen?
It wouldn't matter if it hadn't, because ogre's on the card. Isn't it, dearie?
So yeah, isn't.
What is your challenge?
Whether ogresome is a genuine word, in other words, he's challenging...
If that is his challenge...
The authenticity of the word.
Then, in that case, I give
if
you your challenge.
If you've got hands, and there are some hands, you're called handsome. You've got some hands, you see.
Peter, you have the subject, and you
Does he indeed?
Yes.
What a cheek!
22 seconds on ogres starting now.
Well, they are mythical things that are used to frighten children and other innocent people. And I think they ought to be stopped from doing this by the RSPCC if they're still...
Clement Freud, a challenge.
Repetition of C.
Clement, you have a correct challenge. You have 10 seconds on ogres starting now.
I suppose the RSPCA could be asked to look after ogres and stop them being...
Kenneth Williams
was
challenged.
Hesitation.
Yes, there was. There are 5 seconds on ogres with you, Kenneth, starting now.
The Greeks specialized in this kind of thing, and the Argonauts came upon many in the...
Well, I have received a message. We have no more time, so we have to wind up the proceedings, and that means I must now tell you what the final score was at the end of the game. And Peter Jones and Liz Fraser finished together in third place behind Kenneth Williams, who was 4 points behind this week's winner, Clement Freud. We hope you have enjoyed listening to Just a Minute. From all of us here, goodbye.
The chairman of Just a Minute was Nicholas Parsons. The program was devised by Ian Messiter and produced by John Lloyd.